Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
I've got to get this question out of the way and then we can move on from it. How do you feel about the spandex suits these days?
Well, we don't wear them and I'm very happy for that.
Yes.
So we still wear yellow and black, but not spandex any longer. The spandex is retired and we're very happy about that.
Anybody who's got to one of those albums in their record collection will remember it very, very well. Well, Stryper pioneered a new era for Christian music with its mainstream success. I mean, your videos topped the MTV charts. I read that as many as two-thirds of Stryper records were actually bought by non-Christians. You toured the world with the biggest bands of the time. When you look back now, what part of the Stryper legacy most amazes you?
Well, you know, it just it's incredible that we were able, that the doors were open for us, that were open. And, you know, we were able to, like you mentioned earlier, the MTV number one videos at the time, you know, those videos were going up against bands that were, you know, selling out arenas, bands like Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Poison. And we would release a video, you know, Calling On You, Honestly Free. Those were the three primarily that did so well during that period. And, you know, when they were released and they started climbing the charts and we were sitting there watching this, you know, before our eyes take place, it just blew our minds because, you know, here we were, a Christian band, you know, singing about God.
And very overtly so, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, I think it surprised everybody, not just us, but, you know, the programmers at MTV, the mainstream audiences. I mean, it really was shocking to see. And I think it came down to, you know, the fact that we had such an incredible, loyal fan base out there, yet at the same time, we were gaining new fans because of the songs and the music, you know. And for whatever reason, everything seemed to click and work at that time. And we were able to, you know, grow that fan base, and we went from selling 200,000 records to selling 2 million records, you know, in a two-year period, and a little less than two-year period, and it's miraculous, really.
One of the hallmarks of a Stryper concert for a while there was you throwing Bibles out into the crowd. Now, did you ever hear the outcome of any of those Bibles once the concert was over?
We did. In the very early days, we threw out Bibles. And just, they were pocket-sized New Testament Bibles. We didn't have any Stryper stickers on them. They were just regular Bibles. And we threw them out, and there were many of them left after the show, after the concert. And we used to see them all over the ground, and we thought, this isn't good. This isn't going as planned. So we came up with the brilliant idea to actually have stickers, Stryper stickers made for the Bibles, and we put Stryper stickers on the front of the Bibles. Now, we got some flack for that, from the church. People thought we were, you know, basically being quote-unquote blasphemous or, you know, dishonoring the word or what have you. But the interesting thing about that was once we started putting the stickers on the Bibles, from that day forward, there were never any Bibles left on the floor at all. Yeah, yeah. So it became a momentum, you know, a keepsake. Souvenir, and you know, and we just, our hopes and prayers were that, you know, one person would take it home and actually open it and read it. And, you know, eventually throughout time, we came to the realization in speaking to people and meeting people along the way that they were doing that. They were taking them home and reading them and then giving their lives to Christ and getting involved in a church. And we saw the fruit, and we've seen the fruit from that. So it's really cool.
Talk about controversy. You know, I wasn't actually a Christian when Stryper were in there. You know, you had your huge years in the kind of those early, mid, then towards the later 80s years.
Yeah.
And even I heard about the controversy of this. You know, some Christian preachers thought you were demonic, you're a satanic act, because you were, of course, playing heavy metal music.
Yeah.
How bad did things get for you?
You know, not as bad as they certainly could have gotten. But, you know, there were times when we would go out and perform, you know, at a theater or an arena in a town. And we would actually have the news station show up and local churches from the area show up with bullhorns. And they would stand out in front of the shows and protest the shows.
Wow.
So that happened. And, you know, it wasn't every night that it happened, but when it would take place, we would always go out and talk to the people. And we would find out in speaking to them that they had never even seen the band, and they had never even many times even heard the band. They were just going on what they had heard from others. So we got a chance to share our hearts with them and offer them tickets to come in and see the band. And then, you know, from their perspective, actually seeing us firsthand, then giving their opinion. And, you know, nine times out of ten, their views would be changed because they would be able to witness what we were doing. And, you know, the fact that were we perfect? No. Did we make mistakes? Of course. But, you know, our hearts 110% were sold out to God, and we just wanted to change the world and see that take effect and take root to the listeners. So that's what we're all about, and that's what we're still about, you know?
Yeah. Across the nation, this is Open House. Michael Sweet, lead singer of Striper, is with us. We're just talking about the huge years that they had in the 80s, and as he's intimated there, the story isn't actually over. We'll get to that in just a second. Just before we leave that kind of whole point, though, there, I mean, things have changed so much now, Michael, haven't they? I mean, you know, back in those days, in the 80s, Christian music was very sweet. You know, yes, you'd had Larry Norman in the 70s and some of those other rockers and everything like that, but it was generally, Christian music was very sweet. It was very nice. It was all about the positive things in general and getting through life. And now we've got, you know, Christians making their art in all sorts of genres and exploring all sorts of themes. Things have completely changed. It was radical what you guys did in Striper. Why did you do what you did? I mean, why heavy metal of all things? I mean, why did you keep on going when there was such controversy and it hadn't been done before? What was the driving force?
Well, it's a simple answer. I mean, a lot of Christian bands are raised in the church. They're preachers' kids, and they grew up in the church. We didn't grow up in the church, and it's as simple as that. I mean, we grew up in Hollywood on the streets of L.A., playing all the clubs. You know, we were playing with Rat and Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, before we were Christians. That was our life, and our lives, excuse me. And when we dedicated our lives to Christ, I was 20 years old. This is in 1983, late 82, early 83, and we did so as a band together, the four of us. And when we did that, we just continued on what we had always done, but changed the lyrics and changed the lifestyle to represent Christ. And we were never going to fit in, nor did we ever try to fit in to the contemporary Christian way of doing things. You know, we're not Michael W. or Amy Grant or, you know, all these contemporary Christian bands of the time, of the past, and we never tried to be, and nor did we want to be, you know, disrespect to them. We wanted to do our own thing, and I think that's why a lot of the people, if not all the people that came to our shows, if you look back on time and you see who came to our shows, they were non-believers. They were people who weren't going to church. People who, you know, weren't Christians. If you went to an Amy Grant concert, they were people who were all in church and who were all Christians. You know, we weren't a group for the church. We were a group for the world, and we still are. And we've always done things, you know, pretty much by our own rules, but yet still at the same time, you know, really trying to follow God's lead, you know?
Yeah. Well, you officially broke up as a band in 1992, I think it was, and you've gone on to have a very significant solo career since then. I mean, the early 90s were a very strong time for you. I became a Christian. I started work at a Christian radio station. I was playing Michael Sweet songs. I guess you're one of those guys. You'll never be hanging up the guitar strap at all, will you?
I doubt it. I mean, I've been really blessed and fortunate enough to be able to continue doing music. You know, I've been doing it ever since I was, you know, 13 years old, and I'm 48 now, and 47. I'm aging myself here. And I've been doing it my whole life, and I've been blessed and fortunate. I'm also a part of the group Boston, I was given the opportunity to perform with them, and you know, that's been a real blessing to me in many other ways. And you know, I've gotten a little flack for that. You know, how can a Christian play in a secular band? And you know, all the stuff that you hear. But you know, it's interesting because you just, you know, that's between you and God, and you know, we make decisions in our lives, all of us individually, to do things, you know, and if we feel that it's right and we're led by the Spirit to do it, we do it, you know.
Well, you've copped some flack for Stryper, some flack for then singing in Boston, and who can, you know, forget their, you know, huge single a number of years ago, All I'm Feeling. Wonderful, wonderful, amazing band. Do some wonderful
incredible
stuff.
And wonderful people, you know, incredible people, and they've actually really been examples to me in many ways and helped me through a really difficult time, you know, the most difficult time of my life, certainly, when my wife, Kyle, you know, was sick with cancer. And you know, so it was certainly something where I feel God brought me into their lives because their singer had committed suicide, and God brought me into their lives for that purpose. And then God brought them into my lives because my wife was struggling with cancer, and it was just a good thing. We needed each other, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned Kyle there. February 2007, she was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. There was a brief recovery, then it returned, and then Kyle died in March of last year.
Right.
I can't imagine what that would be like to lose my wife in the same kind of circumstances. And then you're talking about you and Boston getting together and that kind of being God's antidote in many ways. I mean, how do you get up on a stage and keep on going when that's happened?
Well, it was really the driving force behind that was Kyle. You know, she was incredibly selfless, and you know, she wanted to she was so sacrificial, you know, and she wanted to, you know, give to others and not receive anything. That's the way she always was, and she viewed it as an incredible opportunity for me, and she really was the driving force and pushed me to do that. You know, I felt very uncomfortable doing it, and I didn't want to go out on the road. I just couldn't understand or see myself leaving my wife at the time, who was so sick, and I just felt like, okay, these priorities are out of whack here. And she made me understand why I needed to do it, and I did it. It was very difficult. You know, it was very, very, very difficult. But I look back, and I realize why. You know, why I did it, and why she wanted me to do it, and it all makes sense to me, you know?
Yeah. Michael Sweet from the band Stryper, and his own solo work as well, as with us tonight. Now, Michael, what people may not realize is that Stryper is still recording. Does this mean that Stryper are officially back together again?
It does. We did an album in 2005 called Reborn. And that was the first official new Stryper album, reunion album. And then we made another record in 2009 entitled, that was released in 2009, entitled Murder by Pride, which was our latest all original album. And then we decided to really stir the controversy pot and make a cover album.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reason why that's so controversial for Stryper is because we're covering bands like Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Recovering bands like Iron Maiden.
Why would Stryper do something controversial, Michael?
I know, and you know, it's not. You would think one would think that we do these things on purpose, and you know what? It's really not about that. It's just we do what we feel led to do, you know. And in the church, either gets it or they don't, and 9 times out of 10, they don't get it, and that's okay. You know, and it's not a disrespectful thing. We're not trying to disrespect the church or you know, be rebels and be jerks about it. You know, we're doing our own thing, and you know, we feel like with the cover album, you know, there are bands that influenced us and made us who we are musically. And if it wasn't for those bands and those songs in particular, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we figured, well, you know, why not show people how we came to be musically? we were, I feel anyway, extremely appropriate in the choice of songs. We went out of our way to choose songs that, lyrically speaking, are appropriate for what we do. Mm-hmm. If there was a lyric in question, a line of a song or a verse of a song, we would just cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
And repeat the verse 2, you know, and cut out verse 3, or what have you. And but we didn't have to do that. Out of the 12 covers that we did, we only had to do that a few times. But, you know, take, for example, Heaven and Hell, the song Heaven and Hell. Lyrically, if you read those lyrics, it sounds like a lyric that Stryper would pen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just speaking of, you know, the conflict between heaven and hell, between good versus evil.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, you probably would face an easier audience here in Australia, actually, Michael, because many of the stations that you're being listened to on right now have actually adopted what we call blended format. So we actually play mainstream music as well as Christian music, and we do it on the same basis of what you said there. It's based on the direction of the lyrics overall. Well, we look forward to hearing from the new album. Now, you and the boys have reunited for your 25th anniversary tour. You're in Melbourne Wednesday, Sydney Thursday, Brisbane Friday. You're a bit older now than when you started. Does your body still like touring?
I think we're actually in Brisbane Saturday.
Saturday. Right?
Yeah, we have Friday off. But yeah, we're a little older. You know, we're 47, 8, 9, and 50. And we're certainly a little older. But, you know, over the years, we've tried to take care of ourselves. So we're not feeling the pain yet. I mean, we've got a few more years left in us, and we look forward to more years of touring and recording and doing things as a band. So it's certainly not time to hang it up yet. By no means.
And what can people expect?
I think people can expect a great set of classic Stryper songs, you know, hopefully everything in there that everybody wants to hear. Definitely some Yellow and Black. It's not the heyday, so we don't have a big, huge production. But it's just, you know, we've always been a band, hopefully, to let the music do the talking, and hopefully that's exactly what will take place.
Mm-hmm. All right, Michael. Well, great to talk to you, and all the best. And yeah, it's just been wonderful to hear the legacy of Stryper. And yeah, I'm sure folks were going to be very much enjoying what they hear on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights. Good on you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, Michael Sweet.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.